91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. We're at your service today with our popular edition about laws and policies which affect employees, especially in Florida. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper. Employee attorney and author Donna Ballman is with us again today. Employees should tread carefully, for arrest and prosecutions for trade secret violations have gotten easier to enforce. Also, franchises and pay rates. Do higher wages from parent companies apply to owner-operated stores, particularly in the fast food area? Another discussion, guns at work. Will NRA supporters push the right for employees to be armed on the job? That's next. Topical Currents, at your service after the news. And it is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you. 7 minutes past 1 o'clock. Bonnie Berman should be back soon. This afternoon, we're at your service with topics which often elicit great interest from listeners. We get lots of calls, so you may want to get in early. That number, 800-743-9576. 800-743-WLRN. Also, email. That's radio at WLRN.org. With me now is labor and employee attorney, author, and prolific blogger, Donna Ballman. She's a regular contributor. She's written the book Stand Up for Yourself Without Getting Fired, and her firm is based in Fort Lauderdale. Welcome back. I'm sure we'll have lots of calls.
It's a pleasure to be back.
Let's give out our legal disclaimers, so to speak. Donna Ballman isn't giving any specific legal advice for you, but just general information, so please understand that. Also, when you call, please try and simplify what you want to know. It's easy to get kind of going on these legal things and problems, but please be as succinct as possible on the phone and by email. Donna, it's the long, long, long election season, so it's a good idea probably to keep your politics away from the workplace, say in the coffee room, and maybe cool the stuff at the water cooler, even though you might be very strident about your politics.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have the mistaken impression that the First Amendment protects you at work, and it doesn't. The First Amendment protects you from government action. And even if you're a government employee, it doesn't necessarily protect you in free speech at work. So I would just say, in general, your employer can fire you for expressing political opinions at work, with exceptions. I mean, for instance, the state of Florida, there is a statute that protects you from being terminated for the way you voted for a particular candidate. Broward has a statute or an ordinance that says you can't be fired because of your political affiliation. So there are some minor protections, but in general, you aren't protected against being fired if you express your opinions. And if you get into a fight with a coworker, loud argument or whatever, then they may be within their rights to fire you.
Or hold it against you maybe for a possible promotion or something. I know that dirty little so-and-so, she voted for such-and-such.
Well, exactly. And people feel very strongly about their candidates and about issues you've got. And I know there's a lot of publicity about the LGBT statutes, both for and against, going on. And we'll probably be talking about some of the bathroom bills and some of this other stuff. So that's political. And then the contrary religious beliefs. People have strong opinions, and certainly about candidates and some of the protests going on about various candidates. So if you're dealing with an issue that people feel so strongly about, then you can expect them to hold it against you if you hold a different opinion. Whether that's right or wrong, they probably will.
Is there anything in this situation, and in Florida, the way you describe it, probably not, if a CEO, say, is having a big conference with the chief administrators and say, now we want all the troops to get in line here, be sure we support so-and-so, let them know that, that for the company to survive and for the benefit of the company, they need to vote against such and such or for something.
Well, you know, that was happening a lot 4 years ago, and I expect it to start happening again. There are actually employer organizations that tell employers how to solicit employees for various candidates and issues and try to sell them on stuff. They can't. There are certain things they can't do. You know, again, in Florida, that you can't be fired because of the way you voted, and they're not supposed to threaten you.
They can't ask to see your absentee ballot, obviously.
They shouldn't be asking to see your ballot. In fact, I believe Florida has now made it so that you can't take pictures of your ballot. And there are good reasons that you don't want to take pictures of your ballot, even if you're allowed to, because of things like employer coercion and stuff like that. So there is a difference between coercion, though, and just selling your candidate. And employers are allowed to shove you in a conference room and say, you have to watch this video about why my candidate or why this issue is the way you should go. And there's not much you can do about that.
So the best advice is just pretty much keep your politics to yourself and vote how you see fit.
I think so. Now, there are some exceptions. For instance, there are situations where when you're talking politics, it can cross a line into, say, a racial issue or a religious issue or something like that. And so sometimes those political discussions may cross the line into some discrimination issues. If you're, for instance, being harassed because you supported a particular candidate of a particular race or something like that, for instance, when President Obama was running, there were a lot of racial issues, then there can be some legal protections there. But mostly you're not protected. So be very careful.
Again, our number, 1-800-743-9576, if you'd like to chat with employee attorney Donna Ballman. 1-800-743-WLRN. Email radio@WLRN.org. radio@WLRN.org. Donna, we normally have you on right after the legislative session, but we failed to do that this time. But let's go back to the spring. What happened during the legislative session that employees should be aware of, if anything?
Well, they did diddly squat for employees.
You can't make that a little more concrete?
Yeah, zero zip, nada for employees. Really one sort of notable thing that they did was that they added the term financial information to a list of trade secrets that can actually get you in jail and also can get you sued. And there was no real definition of what those what that financial information is. So it's not clear. Somebody's going to get prosecuted under this law, which I think is pretty vague. So I'm just encouraging people to be very careful. Is it a $1 receipt from your employer? Probably not, but I guess it could be. And so if you're dealing with any kind of financial information from your employer, just be careful. If you take it home with you or photocopy it or whatever, even if you think it supports a case, you got to be very careful now and make sure that you're not breaking the law.
Another example, say maybe you're in charge of the petty cash and for some reason you take some of the receipts home or something. Could that be construed that you're taking financial records out of the office?
Well, it could be. And where it comes up a lot is you think you've been a victim of discrimination, so you take your own payroll records home, but maybe you get a copy of somebody else's. That could be financial information that could get you in trouble now. It's not clear where the courts are going to come down. And since there are possible criminal penalties, you need to be very careful. Again, someone is going to be the first person prosecuted under this new language. It's not clear. So what is financial information? I don't know. Now, I'll tell you that there are some things your employer would have to prove. They'd have to prove that it was secret and that it was of value and that it was for use or in use by the business. And they'd have to show that it gives somebody else an advantage over them by having it, and that they tried to keep it secret in some way. Maybe it was marked confidential or it's under a password or something like that. So it's not going to be that easy to prosecute. But the fact that the term is not defined concerns me. And it's obviously just one more anti-employee thing that the Florida legislature has done in a state that's very anti-employee.
Go over that again. What sort of rights employees have within the state of Florida? I'm sure you can do that in about a sentence or two.
Well, we do have the Florida Civil Rights Act, which is very similar to Title VII. It's the anti-discrimination law. So Florida Civil Rights Act says that it's illegal to discriminate. Same categories.
Race,
as,
gender, religion.
Yeah, with the addition of marital status under Florida law. So that's one additional category. Age. Otherwise, it pretty much tracks the federal statute. Different agencies, the EEOC is the federal agency that deals with it. The Florida Commission on Human Relations deals with the state complaints. And if you file with one, you're automatically filed with both. File with EEOC, there's a hint. the Florida Commission on Human Relations, not so great for employees. But I would say that in general, there are a little different remedies, but they're very similar.
I'm not sure about this one. I have an emailer. This might be for Dear Prudence in Slate Magazine. A married supervisor is having an affair with a married subordinate who is older than he is. How does one handle this situation?
Okay, well, I guess if you're talking about how HR handles it, if they find out about it, obviously you need to determine whether it's a consensual relationship, make sure there's no sexual harassment going on, somebody taking advantage of someone else, especially where it's a supervisor and a subordinate.
With a subordinate.
Yeah, that's a dangerous situation for an HR person. If you're a coworker, you know, there used to be a theory that you could use called sexual favoritism that would say that if somebody was being treated with favoritism because they were having an affair with a supervisor, then you could sue for sexual harassment because the person was being favored due to having a sexual relationship. And so if you had the sexual relationship, you would be favored and therefore sexual harassment. Well, forget about it. It doesn't exist anymore, at least not in Florida. So there's not a whole lot you can do unless there's something going on, something blatant, something, actually sexual going on in front of you that is creating a hostile environment for you due to your gender. Then there might be something you can do.
We're speaking with employee attorney, author, and blogger Donna Ballman. It's Topical Currents at your service. We'll take a short break and be back with more. And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper and attorney Donna Ballman. We're taking your calls at 1-800-743-9576. Donna, we have a few ready to go. Before we take calls, let's discuss the transgendered individuals in the workplace. And there seems to be a lot of efforts to somehow criminalize using the wrong facilities, so to speak.
Well, there was a lot of publicity, and there's still a lot of publicity about North Carolina, which just passed a law making it illegal for transgender employees to use a bathroom that's not the one that the same sex is on their birth certificate. How are they going to enforce that? I don't know. Are they going to have people present birth certificates to use the restroom? I don't know. But in Florida, actually, I was on a couple of years ago when two legislative sessions ago, we tried to pass one here, which would have made it a crime. In North Carolina, the one's not a crime, but we would have made it a crime to have a toddler of the opposite sex in the bathroom with you. North Carolina has an exemption for kids under age 7.
So a mother with a youngster who needs a change of diapers, which room does she go into if it's a male child?
Yeah. So it's silly. And if you've got an autistic kid who happens to be 7, you could be breaking the law in North Carolina. And there's a lot of ridiculous situations that these bathroom laws create for business people in particular and employers. I mean, if you look at a transgender person, who's very close to transitioning, they are going to look in every respect like the gender that they're transitioning to. So, for instance, there was actually a very funny article about people on Twitter who were women transitioning to men who had either gone through the surgery or were pre-op, who had beards and tattoos and very muscular men. And they said the North Carolina legislature just said, I have to use the bathroom with your wife. Congratulations. And you know, it's silly to force people into a situation that's going to make them uncomfortable. If you're a business person, are you going to start demanding birth certificates of your customers? Or if you're forcing a transgender employee who looks like a man into the ladies' room with your customers, are you going to explain that? Can you explain that? It's ridiculous. My thought is, you know, for one, number one, if you're transgender, use the bathroom that you feel comfortable in. Number two, there's really no teeth to the North Carolina law. But I think that employers in general need to start thinking about this. You know, how are your customers going to react? Just try to deal with it in a way that makes some sense. Let people go to the bathroom where they want to go to the bathroom. It's, you know, there's not a single instance of a rape occurring by a transgender person in a restroom of the opposite sex. So it just doesn't make any sense why we're in such a panic about this. But in general, LGBT laws, there are over 100 anti-LGBT laws pending in 22 states now. So we're having a real backlash due to gay marriage. And so it's going to be a continuing topic, and HR people are going to have to deal with it, and people who are employees are going to have to deal with this issue for a while now.
If you're an employer, should you just stay mum on the topic and just let things sort things out naturally the way people probably would do?
I mean,
as
I think
you say, use the one you're comfortable with, and you're probably people will be comfortable with that.
I think so. You know, listen, I just got back from Connecticut, and you'll see a lot of restrooms in Connecticut marked, you know, that they are for any gender. Well, that makes sense. If you have a transgender employee, maybe come up with that. But if you're a small employer, you may not have that kind of facility. But I think you're going to have to, in some respects, let people go where they feel comfortable. And I dealt with it. I was teaching a continuing legal education where an HR person said that they had just turned down a request of a person born female who was transitioning to male. She dresses like a man. She looks like a man. She wanted to use the men's room, and they had told her no, or told him no. And I said, you might want to rethink that. What are you going to do about your customers? You've got a situation where in Broward and Dade, we have laws that protect people against discrimination based on sexual orientation. So you can't set out to embarrass employees due to their sexual orientation. So are you going to start making announcements every time they go to the restroom? What are you going to do? To me, you have to use some common sense and think about how the employee's going to feel, how the customers are going to feel, and just let, I think a lot of it just should sort itself out, because up until gay marriage, you really never heard about this issue. People just were going where they wanted to go, and all of a sudden we're in a big panic.
There are quite a few boycotts aimed at North Carolina to change this business, so perhaps that will happen anyway.
Yes, there are. A lot of businesses have withdrawn, refusing to move. Singers withdrawing concerts, sports events withdrawing. So there's a very large boycott going on in North Carolina.
And we go to our phones. First up, it's Kevin in Miami. Hi there.
Hi, good day. How are you?
Good.
Quick question. I'm a graduate student here in Miami. And it seems as though, I have a question / comment, and it seems as though people who tend to lean more towards conservative values are being, are actually the people that the professors and the university in general is actually invoking fear in people. And they are afraid to voice their conservative opinions on certain issues when it comes to the LGBT community. And certain issues as though, is there any legal ramifications that a university has that can actually expel a student for voicing their opinions in regards to their conservative values?
Well, I do employment law, not education law, but I think it probably depends on the university. Some universities are government-owned, and certainly there are First Amendment protections, but a private university, I guess, could conceivably... you might not have free speech rights. I don't know how to answer that. I hear all the time in the workplace. People who complain that they're being discriminated against because of their viewpoint. And I'll just say that, at least in the workplace, discrimination because of your viewpoint is legal. There's no First Amendment protection for you. So unless you you're being discriminated against by a government entity, the First Amendment doesn't protect you.
Okay. Kevin. We hope that helps out.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Here's an email from Evan. In many parts of the world, people are not obsessed with going to the bathroom. Women attendants clean men's rooms while men are using the facilities. Our sexual hang-ups are truly dysfunctional.
I think that's right. I mean, you know, it's very silly that we have potty issues in this day and age. I think that eventually it'll settle down. As the Supreme Court, as we get a full Supreme Court and we get some rulings and maybe some more state laws in place, I think that things will settle down. But it's going to be a few years, and so we're going to have to deal with that in the workplace.
Again, our number, 1-800-743-9576, if you'd like to be on the air. Warren in Delray. Hi there.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. It seems to me that employers and the screeners for employment have gone way beyond the pale. I have seen on these usually compulsory so-called easy online applications, so help me, the following questions. One was, did you ever consult a psychiatrist? Another was, were you ever on public assistance? The craziest one was, so help me, did you ever receive a gift that was stolen? As though anyone would answer yes. Makes me question the sanity not only of who designed that, but who hired the person who designed that question.
Was that a psych test, psychological test for employment?
I didn't ask. It was just part of the total applications. Not all by the same company. Two questions. The first two were by one company, did you ever receive the gift that was stolen by another? And in fact, I asked the lady at the kiosk about that final question. I said, how would I know however every gift that was ever given to me was obtained? She said, good point. Skip that one. I said, but it says you must answer every question. She said, no, that's okay, which means that the instructions on the application were a lie.
Yeah, so it seems to me that at least asking you about whether you've received psychiatric treatment is a question that could raise serious concerns about the Americans with Disabilities Act. But background checks in general, employers can get very intrusive. In Florida, they can ask you about criminal records. They can ask you about credit history.
I think they recently passed something about the criminal.
What about social media access?
Florida passed nothing. There was an attempt to pass it. Yeah, I mean, there have been attempts to pass laws banning the box about criminal records. There have been attempts to pass laws that would prohibit employers from asking for your passwords to social media. But right now in Florida, it is legal for employers to ask for your passwords to your social media.
That sounds outrageous.
It is outrageous. The fact that we're not insisting that our legislature pass laws like that just shows how complacent we are here in Florida.
Well, this irate caller calls Washington to the political offices again and again, simply requesting a bill that would outlaw such applications and allow once again what was commonplace before the instruments of the devil, the personal computer, came in, which is for people to receive your resumes, letters of recommendation, and or samples of your published work.
Yeah, it's crazy how intrusive background checks are, but thank you for bringing this issue up. I think it's a very important
issue. Letting me.
And people need to be aware of that.
Okay, Warren, and we'll move along to next caller, Nicole in Hollywood. We have email space open if you'd like to get in that way. That's radio@wlrn.org, radio@wlrn.org. And, yes, Nicole in Hollywood. Hi there.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I worked as the executive at a nonprofit for about 5 years, which terminated in December. I'll get back to that, but I was the vice president, and our president, we had a very small staff, developed Alzheimer's disease to a degree where he couldn't function, and I became the interim president as per appointment by the board. And in December of this year, as I mentioned, the board decided to liquidate the company. We had considerable assets, not all financial, but, you know, property holdings as well as assets. They promised me a severance package, but did not ever deliver it. And when I went to apply for unemployment, there's a nonprofit in North Florida with a similar name to ours, and somehow or other the employment department thought that my application was referring to that unemployment department, and and of course I'd never worked there, so they denied me, and I made multiple calls to unemployment.
The state is making it very difficult for people to get unemployment. It's deliberate, yeah. I have to say that. And it's, you know, borderline criminal what is happening. I mean, number one,
I heard someone say it's much harder than having a job to get unemployment.
It is very, very difficult. The online system is down a lot, very difficult. Getting a person on the phone, very difficult. I tell people just you have to be very, very persistent. They get information wrong. They look for every possible reason to keep you from getting unemployment. So I just, you know, I tell people all the time, you have to be very persistent. I was just talking to somebody today who said he was denied because he'd had his identity stolen and he's having to go through a big rigmarole to, I guess, somebody else. And this is actually not unusual. People apply for unemployment in your name. You don't necessarily know about it. And so somebody's been getting unemployment in your name. Ooh. That's actually a very common thing. So I would just tell people for unemployment, be very persistent. You know, there isn't a process when if you're denied, you're going to get a notice at the bottom that tells you how to appeal. And so, you know, appeal, you'll get a little phone hearing. You can explain what happened. And, you know, the appellate process is also very difficult.
And one of the things was that, you know, the EIN number, which FEIN number, the federal identification number for my company, they were completely switching it to a completely different number for this other company that I'd never worked for.
Yeah. You just have to be very persistent with them and try to appeal. And sometimes you have to appeal multiple times. It's a very frustrating process. You know, again, I tell people, talk to the legislature about this. Tell people what's going on. I think the legislature knows very well because they're hearing it a lot. And to be attacking the people who need the money most, the unemployed, and to try to prevent them. We have some of the lowest benefits in the country. We've got a maximum of $275 a week. We've got a maximum of 14 weeks right now, kind of a sliding number of weeks. But right now, it's last I heard, it was 14 weeks. It depends on how the economy's doing and some other factors. But we've got such low benefits, and then we're attacking people, trying to make them jump through every possible hoop, making it very difficult. So you just have to be very persistent on unemployment, unfortunately. So I wish you luck with that, but just keep persisting, appeal, do everything, jump through every hoop, and they try to make you repay things if you don't jump through the hoop. So you just have to be very meticulous and persistent.
Donna Baldwin, employee attorney. And it's Topical Currents. We're going to take a short break and be back with more. And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper and attorney Donna Baldwin. She's written the book Stand Up For Yourself Without Getting Fired. Also a prolific blogger. How about more information, Donna?
Well, the book is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and the blog is called Screw You Guys, I'm Going Home, and it's available. Probably the best way to get to it is to go to my firm website, which is BallmanFirm.com, and there's a link to my blog. But it's at employeeattorneyatty.blogspot.com. But just if you Google Screw You Guys, I'm Going Home blog, you'll probably find it.
Okay. And we move along to Mark in Big Pine Key. Hey, Mark.
Hey, you know what? After I had spoken with you earlier, the comment about unemployment, I have to say, there was a time, 10 or 12 years ago, I was a certified welding inspector, and it turned out at this company, they were lying behind my back. And I can't deal with that as an inspector. It's all on my name, and it has to be on the up and up. And I quit that job, and I was really on the scrapes. I was making $62,000 a year. And you know what? The guys at the Veteran Job Service encouraged me to go for unemployment, and I did. And initially, I was denied. And then I had the phone interview, and I told my story. Then we went to court, and it was a boiler shop, and I showed the judge pictures of boilers that blow up. And when a boiler blows up and a weld fails, people die. And I'll tell you what, I won, and I got my unemployment.
Yeah, you're lucky because
the lady was saying you have to persist.
Yeah.
You cannot give up.
And it's very difficult. It's very difficult to convince unemployment that you quit.
Oh, yes, it is.
With
yes,
reason
ma'am.
Attributable to your
yes,
employer.
Ma'am. Yes,
but so, again, you have to be persistent.
Yes, ma'am.
If you quit
the other comment I wanted to make, and I'm going to drive it, another third thing, is about the thing in the Carolinas with the bathrooms, and I love it personally because my little brother lives there, and I'm dying to call him and ask him if the government has to tell you what bathroom to go to, you know. And what this all comes to is that it's a real illustration of how immature American society is and has become. Very few Americans actually speak a second language. I have traveled all over Europe. I hitchhiked to India, and it's so much of different societies there. Americans are so locked up in their own little narrow-minded.
Yeah, that was a point. That was a point our emailer made a little while ago.
Yeah.
But Mark, thank you very much for your call.
Yeah, thank
All
you.
Right.
I think those are good points.
And thanks for your show.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let's take a emailer here. Sonny, I'm 47, male, white. I've been through several interviews where it seemed I was going to get the job almost surely. At least in two instances, I was asked when I could start working. But then I never end up hearing back from them. I'm wondering if age might not be a factor, number two. If there's any way they might have looked into past credit problems. I had a couple of unpaid medical bills that resulted in settlement liens or on a regular background check. Or any other potential reasons that I might be able to find out to prevent this happening with future interviews?
Okay, well, let's talk
it's
about
first.
Like
he goes into a black hole all of a sudden.
I know.
He's got the job, and then boom.
And it's frustrating. And if you're older, then you probably do have more history, you know, lawsuits, credit issues, whatever that can show up. If you've signed something permitting them to do a background check, if they're going to deny you a job based on the background check, they do have to give you a notice saying that they're a pre-adverse action notice that saying they're denying you the job because of that, and they have to give you a copy of the credit report and tell you how to challenge anything that's negative on the credit report.
Is that easy to get around, though, by just ignoring?
Well, employers do ignore it, but the Federal Trade Commission takes those complaints pretty seriously. You can sue over it, but a lot of employers are ignorant about their requirements under the Fair Credit Reporting Act on background checks, and that includes criminal background checks, by the way, that's covered under the Fair Credit Reporting Act. So there's that. As far as age discrimination, you know, look, if you're better qualified than the person who was ultimately hired, Then it could be an
age issue. And 47 isn't exactly ancient.
Yeah, but it's not. But if they're hiring 20-somethings, and it happens a lot, or 30-somethings, then maybe the problem is a lot of people can't find out who was hired. So sometimes you maybe do a little research, or if you know somebody there, you may find out who was hired. But
or maybe
yeah,
they age, knew somebody there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it could be something else. It could be nepotism, not illegal. It could be, you know, that they have a master's degree and you have a bachelor's degree. It could be a lot of other reasons that wouldn't be illegal. But if there's somebody there less qualified and younger than you, then that could be at least the beginning of an age discrimination case.
Technically, if I own a business in Florida and I interview you, I could choose not to hire you because of your hairstyle.
Absolutely. You can hire or refuse to hire, fire somebody because you didn't like their shirt or their shoes or their hair. Those are all things that would be legal reasons, unless it's because your hair is a little too ethnic, then that would be an illegal reason. So it can be difficult sometimes, but the basic way to prove a discrimination case is that, for especially in hiring, is you were better qualified than the person who was hired, and that person was of a different race, age, sex, religion, national origin, whatever. That's the beginning. It's not the end of a discrimination case, but it could be enough to show what's called a prima facie case of discrimination, the beginning of it. If the employer has defenses, then they could show a legitimate reason other than discrimination. You may still lose, but people say, well, how do I prove it? Well, that's it, really. If you were treated differently than somebody of a different race, age, sex, religion, national origin, either in hiring, firing, or whatever, then that is something that you might want to talk to a lawyer about, or talk to EEOC, or talk to the Florida Commission on Human Relations about, and see if you have a discrimination case.
What do you do if you work in, a fairly large operation, maybe 50, 75 people, and you've been there a while, and you've noticed there's never been an African-American employee? As far as you know, there's never been a Jewish employee. Is there anything that you can call an employer on that? Or is that just the chance, I suppose, yeah, they would say?
Well, if you're, for instance, the only African-American employee in a department and you see that they're not hiring people, you're bringing friends in that are qualified and they're not even interviewing them, then that could be evidence of discrimination. It could even create a hostile environment for you. Even if you're the only person there and they're treating other people differently, then you could allege that there's a racially hostile environment. If you're a person that is in a hiring position, you're being told not to consider people of a particular age or race or national origin or whatever, and you object to that, then you could be protected against retaliation for refusing to participate in discrimination. So there are some things that you can do. If it's a hostile environment due to race, age, sex, et cetera, then you have to report it. I recommend reporting it in writing so you have proof that you reported it and ask the human resources department or management to deal with it.
What if you've heard an owner, an employer, overheard them making racial slurs, and there have been other people who heard it at the same time, and there have never been any, say, African-American employees?
Well, again, that could create a hostile environment, a racially hostile environment. Even if you're not of the same race as the people being slurred, it could create a hostile environment for you, due to race or, say, gender or something else. I would suggest reporting it to human resources or management. There should be a handbook, and there should be a policy on how to report a hostile environment. Again, hostile due to you being you or bullying, not illegal, but if it's hostile due to race, age, sex, et cetera, then you should report it in a way that you have proof that you reported it. And number one, you're protected against retaliation if you do report it. And number two, it's a prerequisite. Reporting that is a prerequisite if you haven't been fired or demoted or something like that. The Supreme Court says you have to report it and give them a chance to fix it.
Well, it's Topical Currents at your service this afternoon. We're speaking with employee, attorney, author, and blogger Donna Baumann. Another short break. We'll be right back. Eight minutes past 1 o'clock, Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper, and attorney Donna Baumann. Quickly back to our calls. We've got Willie in Miramar. Willie, hi there.
Hi. I have a question for your guest. Is it legal in the state of Florida for an attorney to go to a cell phone service provider and get the audio of conversation that you know people use to terminate you before you go to civil trial?
I don't know how they would get the conversation. I mean, cell phone providers don't normally record the conversations that people are having. If you're talking about like getting some sort of a tap on a phone, I think that would usually have to be done with a warrant. Police officers, NSA can do what they want, I guess, but I won't go into that. But the NSA does record pretty much every phone call, I think. But I don't see any way that an attorney could get a recording of a conversation that had already happened. I just don't think that's possible.
Okay, Willie.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And next up, it's Chris in Fort Lauderdale. Chris?
Hi, Joseph and Donna. Thanks so much for taking my call. My question is, I've been with the same company for about 6 years now and, you know, in the same role. And my job has just, its scope of work has just expanded to the point where I've taken on so many additional duties as assigned, as they say. And I've asked for a raise. I've been trying to get a raise for over 2 years now, and the duties continue to pile up with no additional compensation, and I was just calling for guidance on what I might be able to do about that.
Well, you know, unfortunately, especially if you're exempt from overtime, well, number one, first of all, sometimes they get your exemption wrong, so you might want to talk to an attorney about whether you're truly exempt. If you're supervising people, if you have a lot of discretion, then maybe you're exempt. If you're exempt, then they can pile on really as many duties as they want, and they don't have to pay you.
They can call you at any
extra
time at night.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's no law in Florida requiring any particular breaks, any amount of breaks, or anything. So unless you're a minor, there are some laws about breaks for minors. But other than that, there's not a lot. But I would say that it depends, I guess, on what leverage you have. If they really want you and you go to them and you say, you know, look, I'm if you want me to do these extra duties, then you have to pay me or whatever. It might be an opportunity to negotiate a contract or something like that. Another thing that people do is get another job offer. And
go in and say, hey, you're going to have to pay.
Exactly. Pay me, or I'm taking this job offer, or just I'm taking this job offer, because do you really want to work for somebody that's going to do that to you? As far as legal issues, unless you are non-exempt, they don't have to pay you overtime or anything like that, and they can just keep piling on the duties. And it's very unfortunate, because I'm running into people who have nervous breakdowns at work now due to stress because of that kind of very issue. The employers just keep piling things on.
Good luck, Chris.
Thank you.
Donna, I'm always reminded of your first visit here. I was kind of astounded that technically in Florida, your employer doesn't even have to give you bathroom breaks.
That's true.
And it still is.
OSHA.
Would they expect you to stand there in a puddle? I guess not.
OSHA does require that there be accessible bathrooms. So, and we talked about this. This is the funniest thing. And I tell people about this all the time. On the first show that we were talking about the lack of bathroom breaks. And I said, but OSHA would probably consider that a bathroom break would be something that's a safety issue and that they would have to give access. And somebody from OSHA actually called us and said, no, we wouldn't. So that was a little illuminating to me. People still tell me OSHA.
Others could fall down on the floor and slip.
So people still tell me OSHA would protect them. And I say, well, not according to the guy that called in on topical currents.
Okay, next up, this is Fior in Miami. Hi. Fior? Are you a Miami caller? Go ahead. I guess he's not there. We'll move along to another Miami caller. This is Pedro. Hey there.
Yes, sir. Hi. Good afternoon. Always enjoy speaking and listening with you guys. I just wanted to make a comment that I worked for a very large pharmaceutical company, and I was very successful in sales, but I had a very negative manager. And during the time that Obama was becoming president, she was very Republican, so she was very hardcore about that. And I called HR, and I said, listen, I've encountered this situation where my manager is, you know, speaking political things. And bottom line, this is HR was used against me. In other words, HR was not there to help me. She was there to protect the company. And I just want to make sure that everybody understands that they're not necessarily there to protect you.
Well, HR is definitely not there to protect you. They're there to protect the company. Human resources is employed by the company to protect the company. And so that's one of the things. Joe, it's one of the things I talk about in my book.
Well, at least you didn't put the title down.
But, you know, one of the things that always concerns me is that when people go to human resources, they say things in a way where they're not legally protected against retaliation. So one of the things I try to emphasize when I talk on shows like this is if you're going to report something, try to figure out a way to report it where you're legally protected. Report something like I'm being treated differently due to my race or age or sex or religion or national origin. Or I'm objecting to something illegal, and here's why it's illegal. I'm applying for family and medical leave. Whatever it is, do it in a way so that you're legally protected. If you're complaining about bullying, or my employer doesn't like Democrats, or my employer doesn't like Republicans, or whatever, you're not legally protected against retaliation. And people are always surprised at that. Well, I was retaliated against because I said that my boss was unprofessional. Well, they can do that. So the trick is to figure out a way, and there aren't a lot of laws that protect you.
You
but
probably
there
even
are.
Go down to sports affiliations or something.
Exactly. So, you know, there are so many ways that you can be fired. And so people write this long letter to Human Resources and they complain about the professionalism or they don't get along with people. That's not legally protected against retaliation. Sometimes people report a crime that's being committed by a coworker or a supervisor, even embezzlement, and they get punished for reporting it. And you know, if you report a crime or object to a crime by your employer, then you're a protected whistleblower. But if you're just reporting something that a coworker is doing, then you're not necessarily protected. So just be very careful when you do deal with HR. Make sure you're legally protected. And don't say things to them that you don't want on the front page of the company newsletter, because it's going to management.
Or be put on the bulletin board. That's a good
exactly.
guide.
Exactly. Exactly.
Donna Ballman, more information about book, website, blogs, and such.
The book is Stand Up for Yourself Without Getting Fired. It talks about these very same issues, about how to stand up for yourself without getting fired. The blog is Screw You Guys, I'm Going Home. The best way to find out anything about me is my website, which is ballmanfirm.com. And it has links to all of my blog and newsletter and all that fun stuff.
Well, it's certainly been good to have you back. The hour has certainly flown by. We apologize to those callers we couldn't get to. That would include John and Marco in Margate. Donna Ballman, thank you very much.
It was a pleasure.
And thanks for listening. And most especially, thanks for joining in. Apologies to the callers we couldn't get to. Also, a couple of emails we didn't get to. And thanks for joining in for our At Your Service program. It was produced by Richard Ive, technical direction by online producer Paul Leary, and Polly Landis is associate producer. Remember, it's easy to make use of our free online program archives. Simply go through the radio section at our website, that's WLRN.org. And we have a doubleheader on At Your Service edition. Tomorrow on Topical Currents, we'll talk about elder law and issues, including estate planning, probate, and how surviving family members can more easily discontinue online accounts and such. You gotten a Facebook birthday notification of someone you know is deceased? That's tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Joseph Cooper here. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.